Go on, Luke. You can say the shitty fucking thing if you want to say it.
Oh, a shitty thing? What's that? Well, how'd your game go?
Go on.
Mitchell, how'd your game go?
Listen, mate. All right.
Yeah, but Bob, how'd your game go?
Luke, you can fuck off.
Clive, how'd your game go?
I've never heard him so enthusiastic in all my life.
I'm just going back from the podcast.
So quick to reply on any message this weekend. It's like he's found his phone.
It's brilliant, like, mate. Look,
he's not had it for weeks. He's not had it for weeks. And he's found his phone, boys.
So happy. Yeah. So happy. And
his social media's asking where all the West Ham fans are.
Oh, I bet he's been on Facebook. I bet he has been.
London is white this week, guys. There you go. London is white. All right, there you go.
And we're live.
There he goes. I'd like to welcome everyone to the week that no one wanted.
Wow, what a result. What a result. I mean,
we're obviously starting with the Tottenham versus West Ham game.
Yeah, well, they need to know that. They know now. They know who to start off with. Yeah, they know. Yeah,
it only took 11 weeks.
Yeah,
it's going to exactly be unbearable. That. Like, for anyone who listens to this podcast regularly that's not a Tottenham fan, just turn it off. Don't bother this week. Brilliant.
Look, let me have this moment, all right? Let me have this
moment. It doesn't get many, bless him.
This is exactly that.
I can hear the subscribers like leaving.
Unsubscribing. One star rating.
Like West Ham fans at 60 minute mark.
Oh.
Oh, God.
I told you, Bob. Let me have this moment. I'm so happy.
Okay, go for it.
Look, in fairness, though, I was worried the first 20 minutes. Like, we had possession, dominated possession, but you had two chances. I think, was it Kudos? Was it both of them? From him, or was it one that she should have scored. Should have scored.
Yeah, so yeah, he had the one straight at the goalkeeper, wasn't it? Really?
Yeah, yeah. So that was a bit scary. Yeah, we could have been 2-0 down in the first 20 odd minutes into the game. So that's typical Tottenham, though, with their defending. There's always going to be space for teams to capitalize on. But what a game. Like, when they got the first goal, I was fuming. I was like, this is Tottenham all over again. How we've got all this possession and just not shooting.
I thought you'd be fuming going in at half time 2-1 up.
No.
Sure, I'd rather it be 1-1.
Normally in this instance, but I was watching you, mate. It depends on the game, isn't it? You know, West Ham, come on. come on. Sorry, Bob. You guys are massive.
We are, massive. To be fair. I will say the first half was actually a decent game of football, and I think we actually played half decent in the first half. I didn't watch the second half, so.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I did. Yeah. The first half was genuinely quite a good game of football. Could have gone either way, I think.
I agree. In the first half. Yeah.
But then, Luke, I'll let you take the second half.
The masterclass, wasn't it, from Postecoglou by taking Maddison off. I mean, I must admit, everyone was shocked, though, when that happened. If it wasn't an injury, I'm surprised he can't, because he got assists for Kulusevski, which was a bit of luck getting that. It was a great finish, but the two posts and then in, that was... your goalkeeper had a good game, I thought, up to that point.
So with that sub as well, like, obviously, do you feel like that's a better shape and having Kulusevski as the number 10 rather than Maddison?
I do, for the energy. It's a tough one, because Kulusevski gives that energy and he drops back, as you saw in that game. He was everywhere. The whole game.
Because it's his favourite position, we've discussed previously as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. And the way he was turning the West Ham players and controlling the ball, and he's got like this good upper body strength about him as well. And he's got a great finish on him. The Maddison one, having him in there, I just think sometimes teams, I think I mentioned this before in other games, I do get annoyed when we play two defensive midfield players against teams that are not so great. Now, West Ham are a good team. You know, I'm saying that now. They're a good team. They're not. I might joke about it, but they're still a good team. It's not like we're turning up to like Nottingham Forest,
or
Ipswich.
Tune has changed.
No, I say, look,
against London clubs.
I joke, but a derby's always going to be a tough game, regardless of. of the team. Sometimes teams just turn up on that day. They could be shit all season, and then a derby, bam, everyone's just like on some weird drug system that they just get buy into it, didn't they, into a derby, and craziness happens, like the red card, which we'll talk about afterwards. But yeah, I was shocked that that happened, and it was good to see that the tactical change worked. So in this instance, yes, the two defensive midfield players worked, and I like that. I think probably what he was seeing and what I was seeing as well was that, and I think West Ham fans were seeing, is that you guys were just able to find space in our midfield a little bit and get through, and you seem to always have that little that player just left somewhere, like kudos, is that
Kudos.
Yeah, was left in the back there. Yes, you could argue that was Brendan Johnson not closing down for the goal, but they were ball watching. But having someone in there that just drops back and watches the game a bit more, I think that's what we needed, because I think Bissouma was getting caught out a few times when he pushed forward a bit. So yeah, bringing Sarr on, he just broke the play, and that's how we got the goal with Son's goal in the second half. Was he broke the play up, and great ball through to him. But the goals were.
I'm actually baffled by what happened in the second half. Like genuinely, I have no idea what went so wrong, and it was like we turned into the team that we played against Chelsea. And I don't know whether it is because you've turned up a little bit in the second half. I don't know. But yeah, I was just completely baffled. I was just like, what was going on? And I do a bit of it is we do, and I think. To be fair, I think it was AI that mentioned it last week. but they mentioned that we struggle against a team that press us. And I don't know whether the intensity kind of got a bit more in the second half. I'm not sure. Like, I'm just completely blinded by rage, to be honest with you.
It was a massive collapse, though, compared to that first half.
Oh, yeah. But our defence was just being pulled about everywhere. There seemed to be no structure.
Would you say that it's because of the change? Like, obviously, Ange has tactically changed their lineup, changed how they're playing, and you've just not responded to that. You've not changed. Like, they got their second goal just as you was going to make. No, they got their second goal. Then you were just about to make some changes.
Yeah.
And then they got their third. And it's kind of like, well, you can't now react to that. That's kind of gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that plays a part in it. But it seemed to be such a collapse. Like, they just completely forgot what they were doing. I think structurally we actually looked quite good in the first half. I think like Tadebo especially was having a really good game, and I still think he will be quality for us. But yeah, in the second half it just. Yeah, just completely fell apart. And I think probably part of it is that tactical change from Spurs. And we obviously didn't really, well, we did respond to it, but after we were 3-1 down. And then at that point, I think everyone's head dropped.
You're chasing the game at that point.
Yeah, chasing the game. And then obviously we had the Kudus situation where he's going to be missing now. Completely ridiculous. Shouldn't have reacted like that.
I've not seen that. I left to go to pub at 4-1. I was like, well, I don't need to watch any more of this. And then I looked at my phone and saw a red card, looked at Twitter and seen some handbags. And Rich Arlison throwing himself to the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously overreacted to it. But at the same time, Kudus just threw his arm out and he made contact with his face. And you know that you can't do that.
He did it twice, didn't he? Two different players.
Yeah.
I think that's what done him.
Yeah, actually, I don't even think it was Richarlison's face, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Richarlison.
Yeah, Richarlison just ran into the back of him and then threw himself on the floor. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So for the Van der Ven one, I think Van der Ven overreacted again. You know, players are like, he went down, but you know, you're in the face, you're going to go down, and you've got to try and win the game. So it's still a bit naughty of him to do that. Annoyed about that. Yeah, exactly that. Something's going to come up actually about the old dark art stuff, and you'll probably notice that with the Arsenal and Chelsea game today, but you guys can discuss that. And then obviously the handbag stuff, and then obviously in reaching out for Sarr and hitting Sarr's face. But what they didn't say, Bob, was obviously he's kicked Van der Ven like two or three times.
Yeah,
and deliberate. You know, he's not. He should have stopped there the first time. Fair enough for the ball, but then he just continued to kick him. But I don't think he's booked him for that.
No,
I think he booked him for the Van der Ven one, and then okay, that's fine. And then obviously they've gone back. Obviously someone said something and told the ref to go watch it. And then he kept doing the SAR one, didn't he? He kept showing the SAR one, and then he booked him for the SAR. So, yeah, it's a weird one, that one.
Yeah, I mean, there was multiple occasions. I mean, if it wasn't a red card for him throwing his arm out, it could have been two yellow cards anyway for the for the other challenges. So,
exactly that. Yeah, so it was a sending off.
He's just completely lost his head, didn't he? And to be honest, at that point, it's not like down. I can say that impacted the match in any way. Like, we were 4-1 down at that point anyway, so it's kind of like, well, I mean, I noted down two positives from that match. The two positives are, first half we actually looked quite good. Second positive was we've made Spurs feel like they're a good team, so we'll get their expectations higher.
Yeah. So we did you a positive as well. You know, we let your fans leave early so they can get the train. You know?
So, sure, I appreciate that.
They're welcome. They're welcome. Well, no, what a game. Well, I was happy with the performance. Yeah, the first half did scare me, like I said. Second half, we came out and like a different team. Like, the passing, we didn't give the ball away cheaply. I just felt like, and that's what we've been doing. When we've been dominating the possession, it's teams are just waiting for us to just give the ball back, where we're making mistakes or trying something fancy and trying to get through it and in the counter-attack or finding that extra space. Like the ball in from Bowen, was it Bowen got the assist?
Yeah.
The ball for Bowen, like he was, Brennan Johnson not tracking back. But then again, there's people ball watching and as you saw, it wasn't Pedro's fault because he had to chase the runner. You know, it's just people ball watching, having that space. But when we do that, all your teams, everyone's teams are in their own half marking each player. We're not finding that space when we do that. It was only the second half where we was able to exploit that for some reason. Wan-Bissaka, what a player.
Yeah, I mean,
he was out of position, don't get me wrong. Like, his defending wasn't great, but he just
a moment in the second half where he got past like three or four players, but the pass was shit.
I have nothing bad really to say about one. Like, yes, he was well out of position for one of the goals, but I think my whole issue is that I've said throughout all of these podcasts, for me, I think Spurs are one of the best teams on the ball in the Premier League at the moment. And the problem was their finishing. But if you know that they are very good on the ball, you can't be having any defensive mistakes that will allow them to break through, because otherwise you are going to get spanked. And that's what happened in the second half. Like, it just completely collapsed. And it allowed you to take advantage of the finishing product. And to be honest, I think Son was brilliant throughout as well.
It was quality, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I was very sad. I was nowhere near as angry as I was as the Chelsea game, because at least we had the first half to kind of, you know, think back on.
I thought you'd be more upset purely because you went into it with a bit of confidence. You thought, we've smashed it, Ipswich 4-1. We're massive. Let's go take on Spurs.
And then just lost to Brighton.
No, I don't think that doesn't play a part. I don't think. I think the problem against Chelsea was that there was no positives to take out of that game at all. Whereas think there were partial positives. I mean, Kudus got a goal as well. I mean, I know we're not going to see him now for another three games. But at least
who
are
the games he misses? Do you know?
Let me have. I can find out right now.
Your next fixture is United.
I know that. And then I think it's Forest. I think. Hang on. Yeah, Forest away. I think after United. Yeah, and then Everton at home. So
I can see you losing all of that.
Well, but you're kind of hoping for that, aren't you? Because you've said that we're going to get relegated. I'm going to repeat what I said. I don't think that we're as bad as like at least six or seven other teams in the league.
I mean, you've won two games and you're still 5 points clear of the bottom three. So,
well, yeah, I'm not even considering relegation as an option this season at all. It's only because Mitchell fucking said it. It's the only reason why I brought it up.
Are you considering a new manager yet?
I'm not, no. I've seen a lot of noise about it, though.
Moyes back. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing as well. It's fucking your fans, mate. For the third time. He wouldn't come back. Well, you sacked him, 6 months after he won the whatever cup it is that you guys...
Win
yeah, that you all...
He got a whole
about.
He got a whole other season out of it.
It was still, I think, 6 months, Clive. I think it might have been a whole, however the months were.
Yeah, he
football,
did get a whole
I think
season. He got a whole other season.
But either way, I don't think that's right at the moment.
Let's see after United, Forest and Everton.
Well, why will that change things?
If you lose the next three on a bounce, right, and the teams below you pick up some points, and you are now kissing or in relegation.
Yeah,
you're on the same points as Everton. There's a long. I don't disagree, Bob. I think you should give the manager a chance.
I just don't see any point, and. Even if we was considering it, who the fuck do we get? And don't say David Moyes.
I think Harry Potter's a good one. Yeah. The only thing I would say is the reason why you changed your manager was because Moyes played pragmatic, boring football.
Well,
are West Ham fans any happy with the? Well, there's no real identity at the moment with the way that you're playing. I couldn't say you're looking good or bad.
It's confusing. I don't think that's the reason why we changed him as a manager. That's probably the reason why. I'm guessing that conversation probably was had from David Moyes' mouth. To be fair, I can't see that the board would say, "Oh, we need a more," flary kind of manager. I can see that happening. How often do football clubs actually listen to the fans? Not very often. So I'm not sure that is the reason why. But at the same time, we have got a different manager now, obviously. And I think we've just got to give him a chance and a chance to build up his identity. I don't think there really is one yet. I think you're completely right in saying that, Clive, because I'm genuinely confused by what we're trying to do. I could not say to you, if we say, for example, we had exactly the same fixture next week against Spurs, I could not say to you how we would play in that game, because I don't think we've got a style of play at the moment. It's
weird. I know the outcome, though.
Oh. Yeah, we'd beat her.
God, all right.
Tottenham are going 2-0 up at half time and lose it. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a different story. 2-1 versus 2-0, Clive. All right, you got to look at these options here. Yeah. So, I think you're right. I think you're right, Bob. In that game, there was nothing. You didn't know. Wan-Bissaka got forward quite a lot in that game, but no one covered his position. When he went forward, the space was there, and that's what we was able to find, at least in the second half that we saw. Because Kudos, what's his position? He's just on the left side, isn't he? Left?
Right. He plays on the left and right, to be fair.
Yeah, I
was going to say he was all over the place.
I think Bowen was playing right. And I think I've said it previously as well. Wan-Bissaka's got an issue this season when he does go forward, because Bowen, as good as he is going forward, doesn't do the work backwards.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember seeing him back there.
But you would think that we'd have something in place to counter.
Yeah, a defensive midfielder then needs to come across, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think in the first half, they were doing all right at that. But then it obviously just slipped off and capitulated. So, and I'm going back to what you said earlier. I can't remember if it was you, Luke, or Clive, but I'm not even sure if it is because of the tactical substitution that Ange made. I could be. Maybe it just confused him. I don't know. It's just complete capitulation. And I'm so confused at the moment. I don't even know what to think.
Well, that space that you was getting into in the first half wasn't there in the second half, because Sar was breaking it up and adding a bit more energy in there. It would close you down a lot quicker. And we were just moving a bit quicker in the second half, because we were a bit too slow passing that I saw. And we do that a lot with Van de Ven and Romero a lot. We just, sideways, and Maddison does the same thing. He come and get it, and he wants to play that lovely through ball, or the ball outside of his boot to a player in that area, and it just weren't working. And you were finding every time you got the ball from her, she was attacking us. And then there was some space for yourselves. So I guess when you brought Saar on, and from what I was seeing, was that, well, when you found that space, Saar was there.
Yeah, but...
Or Basuma was there.
But I'm talking even when we was off the ball. I think the gap started showing a lot more. I don't know how that happened, because I can understand it from a with the ball perspective, us having more of the ball in midfield, but I can't understand it from a there just being massive gaps in the midfield like there was against Chelsea. Like it's like he changed something which didn't work, and I don't know where it was. I'm baffled. God knows what's going on. It's impossible to predict what West Ham do, isn't it, Mitch?
You're one of them.
With that saying, anyone else got anything else to say about Tottenham West Ham, or do we want to move on to Chelsea Liverpool?
Tottenham are massive.
Oh God. Turn him off.
What a made them feel they're going to win the league in October again, and
you said it, mate. You said it.
If City get the luck that they got today, no one's winning the league other than them. Right, let's go to Chelsea versus Liverpool, Mitchell.
Yeah,
he's happy.
No, you know what? Right, I mean. We didn't even play bad. I want to be angry at someone.
It's got to be Jackson.
His goal was good though, man.
It was a good finish. But we'll get there. I mean, I feel like for the majority of the first half, we were pretty in control, except for the opening 10 where Tosin, however you pronounce it, and Sanchez were doing their best to concede. sloppy defending, just passing
bad
the
distribution
ball.
As well.
Yeah, terrible distribution.
When he tries to go long, you've got no confidence with it.
No, and he's done all right the last couple of weeks. I was quite surprised. He's a bit hot and cold, and he had a cold day today. And it was good to see Reece James back. He didn't come off injured. Fucking miracle. Wow. But he did only play 45 minutes. But
you're hearing the news tomorrow that he's injured.
It would not surprise me in the slightest, that boy, honestly. And then it was the pen, wasn't it, in the first half? Well, the two penalty shouts. The first penalty, you're all going to say it's a penalty, aren't you?
Yeah, it was a penalty, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm just... I'm saying sometimes you see him given, sometimes you don't, right? I thought it was a little bit soft, because it was like, I don't know, a pixel of his boot kissed his shin pad, and then he goes down, and I mean, everybody's going to go
as soon. Yeah, as soon as you feel contact in the box and you know that you haven't got any of the ball, you go, like, the player's going down.
It
was a penalty.
So obviously Salah puts it away. The second one definitely wasn't a penalty, and I was screaming at the TV when the ref gave it, and I was glad the VAR got involved because Sanchez definitely got the ball first.
Yeah, he makes contact with the ball first, and I 100% agree. If that was against Arsenal and they'd given it, I'd be fuming.
They would have given it against Arsenal, of course. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that, Bob.
Who was the co-commentator? Was it McManaman?
No, it wasn't McManaman. He's TNT Sports, isn't he?
Oh, I can't remember. It was fucking Sam Scouser, but he was. Oh my God! I wish they'd shut him up. Oh, it was definitely penalty. It should be.
Was it Carragher?
No.
Carragher was after the game, and he said it was a definite penalty at half time or whatever, didn't he?
Well, at half time he didn't, and then at the end of the game he said he did. But he can't fucking make his mind up. No one listens to that dickhead. But Jackson annoyed me for the penalty. I just have to fit in some moaning for Jackson, because I understand he's trying to slow it down and put a bit of pressure on Salah, but you're at Anfield and it's Salah. So don't bother. He's going to be fine. He just sort of randomly walks into the box and claps his hands at Sanchez and then walks back again, gets a yellow card for it. What was the purpose of that? You look fucking stupid. And now you've got to play the rest of the game with a card.
Kunku, you'd be singing his praises.
I fucking would not. I would not. And I have got a little moan for Nkunku later. It's not a moan.
So about Jackson, great finish for the goal. held his run very well. Where's the praise in regards to that, Mitch? Come on, let's hear some positives for him.
Yeah, but that was second half, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like to do count, I like right? to do halves to halves, right? Well, because I did, and I did message Bob at the time because I did write a little note at the end of the first half on Jackson. I was like, it's probably the best news of the half if Jackson comes off injured.
I did say that, yeah.
Because he had a quiet first half. And I was like, well,
there was a couple of touches I thought he did, like, he brought the ball down and kept control of the ball well. But there
was one, I think, again, that was, I think that's where he got the injury. He has brought the ball down, but he's tried to shoot at an awful angle. And what he should have done is put it across the box, because I can't remember who it is, was running it.
Did that one hit the crossbar?
No, it didn't hit the crossbar. I think it was a side net. Yeah, and I think Maresca was a little bit pissed with him after that as well. But no, he did redeem himself. The second half, right at the start of the second half, it was a lovely timed run, and he didn't panic. And this is that there was always my gripes with him. He panics. He didn't panic. He held the ball well, and he slots it in the back of the net. It was a lovely goal. It's a very nice goal. I called him a great player after that. And then that was fun for, 3 minutes? And then fucking...
That's what she said.
Jones, yeah. Jesus Christ.
I mean, Jones's goal, what a ball by Salah.
It's a great ball.
Unbelievable.
It's a great ball. But Jones, no one's challenging. No one's...
No one tracks that run.
Yeah,
right.
They're trying to play the offside. And then everyone's fucking saying, oh, he's offside. But no, he's fucking run from miles away. Run straight through the Fourier. No one's tracking him. He's got all the time in the world to take the ball down and take his shot. And they were saying this after the game as well, and I did think it at the time, is if you look at Sanchez, when Jones takes the ball down...
Is he a bit scared to come out?
He's a bit scared, exactly, because he's got that yellow card in the first half. He thinks, if I come out now and I clatter him and I don't catch him up... But it's what he should have done. He should have come out and grabbed the ball, because I don't know if it was Jones he took a bit of a touch and took a few seconds too long. Sanchez could have come out and got that.
But I felt that a couple, I can't remember what other match it was, whereas it might have been the Man City game, your first game of the season, their second goal. I think Sanchez could probably come out and claim the ball. I don't think he's very good at that.
Yeah, that's one of his weaknesses. That and his distribution. But it was a good goal. It was a very good goal. It was a great pass, like you say. And then that was the story of the second half, which was pretty much the same as the first half. We looked all right. We had scary moments where...
I think your best player was Casado, though. That's like when it's your defensive midfielder being your best player, because he got the ball, he ran at players, he was very... Like, there's one or two times he gave the ball away, but he was very, very good in possession most of the time.
He's been having a very good season, Caicedo. Yeah, him and Enzo together have been very well. I don't know what the reason was for them not starting together in this game, but they had the second half together. Because he didn't have a very good season last season. I think
I'd agree.
He's been very good this season, which is nice to see, because we're going to fucking need that, because... I don't think we're still completely sure on what our back four is.
And is he your vice captain now? Because I saw that he's had the captain's armband a couple of times.
I believe so. Yeah, I think he was captain now today because Enzo didn't start. But it was the same story in the second half. Luke, I know you like your stats, right? If you look at the stats, Chelsea dominated that game. If you look at the stats.
Let me check.
Yeah, go ahead.
So while she's checking, my other note is Cole Palmer.
He had a very quiet game.
Like, if we was listening to Talk Sport, I think Jason Cundy would be being asked, has anyone seen him? Because...
but come on.
Didn't have
He's
a good
great
game at
97% of the time.
I think we should call up.
But like, my point with that, like, because like, I'm a fan of Cole Palmer. I think he's a fantastic player. But I have been very quietly hoping that he goes missing and he's just riding a very good wave of form at the moment.
That's a big wave.
So I'm hoping, like, first, so the two games that he hasn't turned up in this season are the two games that you've played big teams. So I'm hoping he just doesn't play against big teams.
I don't know. He played quite well against West Ham.
Oh, I knew he was going to say that.
Because Madawaki looked superb in the
first half. He's still a great Madawaki.
Yeah, he looked very good.
He made Robertson look fucking stupid sometimes. But that's the thing. We didn't play it through Madawaki enough.
Like, Jadon Sancho was completely, like, anonymous the whole entire first half. I can't think of anything that he did. He just
landed into players.
Neto come on again, looked very good, and caused Trent Alexander-Arnold problems. I just thought personally, I was looking at Cole Palmer, and like when it was 2-1 in the 83rd minute or the 90th minute, and the commentators turn around saying, "Is there going to be a Cole Palmer moment?" It just didn't seem like there was going to be.
No, but I think just sometimes it just doesn't happen. There was a couple of touches he did in the first half, and I just thought another week. And that would have stuck to your foot like glue. You would have turned straight away. But it was kind of just the control wasn't great, and it's like sort of took too long to decide what he wanted to do.
But why are there sometimes when it's top four teams? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, but I think it's still too early to say that, because it's playing City in your opening game. We still didn't have a team then, really. He's still figuring out things. We'd only won one game in pre-season. It came too soon. The Liverpool game, compared to the City game, we were in this game. That Liverpool never run away with it. They just fucking scored two goals.
Yeah, I agree. I do actually think you played pretty damn well, really, against Liverpool at Anfield, like considering.
That's it as well, at Anfield, yeah.
Do you think that'll push you now over that performance? I've got the stats in front of me, and you're not far off from saying dominated. But like, do you think it top four is a possibility? I know you don't want to talk about it, but do you reckon that after that performance where Liverpool are in the league and the way Liverpool have been playing this season so far, are you looking at that a possibility now?
I still think if we finish top four, it's an incredible season for Chelsea. That's what I think. I think top six. I think we get Europa. Top four would be lovely. But like you say, we need to see how we are against the top four teams. Like, I'd like to play City now as opposed to the opening game, because they're fluking a couple of results lately. Haaland's gone missing. I would say we'll see next week against the top four team, but Newcastle aren't quite there at the moment, are they?
I mean, they are eighth, only 3 points off of fifth.
Season's quite weird at the moment, isn't it? It's like some teams, like even looking at us, like we win another game, and whoever draws or loses, we can go close enough to top four, I think, in the league.
If the results go your way, yeah, you can go into fifth.
Yeah, it's
fifth.
Really weird at the moment. Like anyone could just lose one week and then the next in top four. And it makes it an interesting season.
If we beat Liverpool, we'd be second, 1 point off them. Yeah. It is all over the place. No, you're right, we didn't. but that's it. It was poor defending for a second goal, because I was on for my 1-1, wasn't I? But it was, poor defending and nothing else major happened. We played all right. We played good. It just fucking hell. We just couldn't get a goal. Couldn't get a second goal.
Yeah. It's like Tottenham beginning of the season then. He was playing well, she's going to get a goal. I was going to mention from the Arsenal game and in this game, I know we've not got Arsenal yet. The yellow card for the player that was on goal. what do you think? Should have been sending off the old consistency sort of thing with referees?
No, it was different. I know we will get to the Arsenal one, and I'll say my point when we get there.
Okay.
But for the Chelsea, it definitely wasn't, especially because as well, Chelsea literally had one before the international break, and that was a yellow. That's what I was going to get there, because I even said at the time, he's lucky he weren't sent off, and then it goes and happens in the Arsenal game. But ask me what I feel about that on the Arsenal game. But this one,
feel like it was a red card. I already know.
Well, you don't know that. Ask AI.
I don't think it was a different situation.
We'll get there.
The Chelsea game now?
Yeah, both. There were still defenders behind the ball. The defenders were behind the ball, right? He would have got away from those defenders. So how is that different?
Well, I mean, this one literally was on the halfway line as opposed to a bit further up. But there was, it was two defenders.
Two steps, half a foot.
But there was two defenders. He wasn't last man. Yeah, that's the difference in this one.
Okay. Right, we'll leave it until the Arsenal one then.
You're assuming I'm going to say something.
we all know you think it's a red card.
We'll see.
Anything else on Chelsea Liverpool? No? Cool. No. Doesn't sound like it. For me, my kind of parting thought on it is Chelsea played better than I thought. Liverpool also looked a little bit better than I thought they kind of were, and they've got off to a great start. But I still don't think Chelsea are playing for fourth. Yeah, I agree with you, Mitchell. I think sixth is got to be their goal this season.
Yeah, I think so. I'd be happy with it.
But yeah, all right, well, let's move on to Arsenal's first loss of the season, boys. And we might as well dive straight to the red card because nothing else happened in the game.
Well. Yeah, what's your take on the performance of Arsenal from the beginning to the end?
I mean, before the red card, neither goalkeeper had any work to do. I'd say we was comfortable. We made a couple of chances, but obviously didn't work the goalkeeper. I'm going to moan about international breaks, obviously, because we're missing our two star players because of international breaks in Saka and Odegaard. Martinelli wasn't fit enough to start the game either. So it is having an impact. So that's a bit frustrating. So if we want to talk about the performance at half an hour when you're playing with 10 men again, it's hard to really gauge. Like, the one thing I would say is tactically I'd like to see Arteta be maybe a bit braver when we go down to 10 men, because it's clearly going to happen a lot this season.
Oh, here we go.
Clearly going to happen a lot.
It is the woe.
In hindsight, maybe instead of putting Kjaer on for Sterling straight away, give it until half time, drop Partey back, put Ben White into centre half, Partey at right back, and keep Sterling on. You've got 15 minutes to get to half time, and then if they are starting to or if they are dominating the ball and creating chance after chance, yeah, then change it. But maybe be a bit braver.
He shuts up shop. I feel like he passes that negative energy over.
He doesn't want to lose a game. He doesn't want to lose the game. He wants to tighten things up and then hope we get something on the counter. There's no problem with that. But like, if I look at that team without Martinelli in there or Sterling or Saka, then we've not got the pace to hit someone on the counter. So, like, Kai has been doing a great job for us all season. But if your idea is to play on the counter, on you're going to turn the ball over and then hoof it and get in behind, you need to have the pacey players on. So let's not take Sterling off straight away.
What did you think about Sterling in that game? Because I actually thought he had a fairly decent game. He was given.
I've been happy with what Sterling's been doing so far. Like, I don't think he's been given great chances yet, but that's obviously because we've got Saka and Martinelli, right, and Trossard. So he's having to bide his time.
It just seemed like he was getting into the game when he got subbed off, though, didn't he?
Yeah, and like even against Southampton, I said the week before, he started to have chances. He was making things happen, and I think he will do. But like I said, because he's lacking minutes and lacking a bit of confidence at the moment, his decision making's not perfect. But that will come when he gets a goal or two, I think. But I can't complain. Like, Sterling for me, he's definitely not anywhere near the issue at the moment. But then, obviously the red card happens at 30 minutes and it kills us. And Arteta said after the game, like, we're not going to win the Premier League if we keep going down to 10 men. And that's not a lot. I'm not having a dig at any officiating there. That's a dig at Arsenal. Like, the players need to fucking understand, like, we need to keep 11 men on the field. Like, we can't keep playing with 10 men for fucking 60 minutes. We're not going to win games.
Yeah. Well, the issue is going to happen now, Clive, though, which I think is going to be players like Chelsea's goalkeeper, is that they're now going to be a bit more reserved and making those challenges. I know they're professionals, but do you think somewhere in the bracket end, Brian?
if we've learned anything from Arsenal this season, is they don't learn from their lessons, right?
Like,
sure. I'm not too worried about that at the moment.
Fair enough.
And I think I said, like, against Tottenham, I think Saliba was a little bit lucky when he had a bit of a tussle with Dominic Solanke on the halfway line when he was on the yellow card. So they've, like, I don't know what it is this season, but there is something happening where their decision making's not great. Personally, I think it's a very harsh red card. It's not a clear goal scoring opportunity. You're so far away from the box. Like, I get that he's the last man. Yeah. I get that, but there's a lot that could happen between him getting to the 18 yard box and having a chance.
Yes,
like. Cool. He could even fucking fall over, for fuck's sake.
People trip over, could hit the pitch.
People trip over the ball all the time, right, is what I'm saying. Like, it's not a clear goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah, no, I get that, but at the end of the day, he's still one-on-one with the keeper.
He's not at that point.
He would have been.
Well, he had, was it Ben White that was kind of chasing up to the side?
28 yards away.
Ben White was like, I don't know how quick that Bournemouth player is. I'm assuming he is quick.
He's black, eh?
No comment. I
can say that.
Ben White has made some very good recovery runs in the past. So, like, again, if you're going to say, like, he's not, like, in my opinion, yeah, he's not close enough to say he's a covering defender at that time. But as I say, like, you don't know what's going to happen. Like,
the thing is, if he's not close enough to be a covering defender at that time, how can you say that that's a clear goal scoring opportunity? Because equally, you don't know what Ben White's got to do, right?
Yeah, I agree. So, like, I think they've got it wrong. Like, but. Like, I'm not going to say, well, it's me. I'm not going to say it's Arsenal. I think it's a harsh red card, is what I say.
The Chelsea game, when I said that he's lucky he weren't sent off because he was the last man, and you laughed at me, Clive. You laughed at me. And then it happened in your own game. And I thought that was very delicious.
Very, of course you did.
Brilliant.
But can I'll be honest with you, right? And I know you're all going to turn and go, oh, how can you say that, right? But honestly, it wasn't a sending off. It wasn't a red.
It was.
No, I don't think it was.
It definitely.
I think it was harsh. I think the yellow was enough.
I think the players, look, don't get me wrong. If Saliba didn't foul him, Saliba would have caught up with him or at least been near him at the time. So he didn't need to foul him. But Ben White weren't getting there. The way they showed you where the ball was going. And where the player was running. And yes, he would have to make 28 yards. Ben White, and in the stride of the striker, there's no way that Ben White is going to make that in time on an angle that he's running at as well. And they showed you, and the way he was actually looking at the player behind him. So Ben White wasn't actually properly focusing on that striker. He was actually looking behind him at the time of the ball. They showed you on the Sky Sports. And I'm just looking at it thinking, okay, in real time, yeah, the referee's got a lot to see. But I guess, again, by letter of the law, like, that player would have made that yardage and he would have been through on goal.
But can you say for sure, like absolutely for sure, that he would be through on goal?
He was in front of Saliba. Yeah, so he's already a yard or two in front of Saliba because he was already in an offside position. So yes, he's already a yard. He's a quick striker. You've got 28 yards is the defender. Also looking behind him for another player, and the referee can technically see that on the screen. And the goalkeeper was walking backwards towards his goal because he wasn't coming out, and he showed you that as well.
I just don't think there's an.
Like, I'm sorry, but if you're playing football, if you're playing football and the ball comes over the top and it bounces not that far in front of you, and the defender's behind you, and if he hasn't touched you and the other defender's 28 yards away, you are technically through on goal, mate.
But
It's not like the ball skidded across the ground and it was in Reyes' feet. No, no, no. It was a few yards in front of him and the player would have got there. Like, but don't get me wrong, it's harsh. It's harsh. And I'd be fuming if it was Tottenham. But it's just the way it is. I know Arsenal fans are hard done by and they always blame the referee for it. But that is a red card.
I just don't think it should be if it is.
The player wasn't even 2 yards in front of him because he wasn't in an offside position. The player was side by side and the other defender wasn't 28 yards away. He was about 5-6 yards away.
But they were still again, in front. He was in front.
No, he wasn't. He was side by side. Watch it again. They were side by side. Yeah. So you've got to take into account, he's like 2-3 yards ahead of Saliba. And yes, I think Saliba was quick on his feet. And I think he would have either got close to him or at least put him off a little bit for shooting where the clear-cut chance wouldn't have happened. If that makes sense, because he would have been close to him.
So what about the other one?
Because Saliba took him down, Clive, because he had no choice. If he didn't take him down.
I mean, Saliba could have hopped up to his feet and got back with him. Saliba's quick as well, mate.
Let's talk about the other Chelsea one from before, right, with Jackson. That was exactly the same situation. And I think you agreed, Luke, that was not a red card. So what is the difference between that one and this one?
The Chelsea one from a couple of weeks ago. It is a very similar circumstance.
I need to watch it again.
But the only thing I would say is different is for the Arsenal one, I think we were a little bit closer to the halfway line for Jackson.
So that makes all the fucking difference, isn't it?
Well, but this is what we're saying, because where is the line on the last man? If it is black and white, it doesn't matter if you're on the halfway line.
Again, the rule isn't the last man. Like that's not the rule.
Right, so
the rule
is goal scoring opportunity.
A clear and obvious goal scoring opportunity. Yeah. That's the rule. Well, so by saying letter of the law,
one is, isn't it?
Not when you're on a halfway fucking line. It's not a one on one, is it?
Who else you got to beat?
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, who else have you got to beat? You haven't got to beat anyone else other than a goalkeeper because it already bounced in front of him at the right.
You've still got to make that distance.
You're splitting hairs on this now, Clive.
If
the ball comes over the top and you're in an offside position and you already made that yardage and you're already running towards the ball and the player and the defender's taking you out and you would have been through on goal because there's no way Ben White was getting there.
Who's to say he's not taking a heavy touch?
Yeah, but you're looking at speculation as if he could have taken a heavy touch.
You're speculating that Ben White's not getting there.
So you're saying any foul, any chance in anywhere where it's a clear-cut opportunity, where a defender takes him out, the player could have just slipped and kicked his foot. He could have just sneezed and fell over. You can't make that assumption. Just because he's got to make 60 yards versus 5 yards, it doesn't matter.
I'm saying that adds a lot of other variables.
You're making too many variables, Clive, because you're going, because it's 60 yards. Like, if so, I'm through on goal, I've got all that space to go and score a goal versus me being in the box and someone's tackled me, or just near the box and someone's tackled me.
So we're saying that last man should be a sending off from now on. Go back to that way. So any time in the Premier League this season now where the last man, be it in your own half, be it in the other half, if you're the last man and you take someone out, you should be sent off. Regardless of where you are on the pitch, your last man, red card.
But you're saying clear cut chances, Clive.
But that's because that's the rule, and that's not for me.
If a striker's running away with it and he's beating the defender, and the defender just pulls him down.
Takes him out. That's a yes.
I can see why. You know,
that went like down.
If he's 10 yards further into our half, then yes, fair enough. But it is fucking two steps. Like, the contact's made in the centre circle. That's where the contact is made.
Well, that's the point, though, isn't it? It's like, where do you draw that line? Where does a last man become a goal scoring opportunity?
But I personally think within 40, not 40 yards, 30 yards of the fucking box. Not the halfway line.
Clive, I don't think in this day and age, mate, with players, how quick they are, you know,
That works both ways. Ben White's very quick as well.
But he's not quick enough to cover 28 yards versus where the ball was landing.
He could get pressure on him.
Again, Clive, you watch that video again. They break it down. It's the Reyes moving backwards. He's watching the player behind already. He's not making that yardage up versus that striker where the ball... I understand if the ball just landed at his feet, Yeah. And then he's got to knock it in front and take a touch and whatnot. It didn't. The ball was already in front of him by about, what, eight, nine yards, where he would have been got the ball in his stride, bear in mind. And he would have kept running in that stride. It's not like he's had to stop the ball and run, because that's the most dribbling versus sprinting are two different things. So
because you have got momentum then.
You got momentum, and Ben White was already looking behind him. So even momentum wasn't even going that quick anyway. There's no way he's covering that yardage.
You're even hearing
that by professional football players, not just me who's played football. You're hearing like Theo Walcott, Jamie Redknapp, they're all saying the same thing.
I'll go back as well and say, by professional football players, Declan Rice shouldn't have been sent off. But you all agreed with Declan Rice being sent off then as well. By professional football. You didn't, the kick away.
Because of the rules.
It's like, for me, it's not a red card.
That's your opinion.
It's not a red card. If it was Van de Ven, you'd be saying the same thing. It's not a red card.
I'll be pissed off. I'll be fuming. That's what I'm saying. Again, it's your opinion. It would have been my opinion. I would have been fuming if it was, as I said, I already said that. I would have been fuming if that was Tottenham, because I know how quick Van de Ven is. But again, if he's made that foul, unfortunately, if Van de Ven's made that foul on a player that's already 2-3 yards in front of him, and the player would have been through on goal in the same scenario, Van de Ven's going to get sent off for it. Yeah, I get that. Obviously, Ben White.
He probably won't.
Probably won't even make the foul. We had the same scenario, actually. We had the same scenario with Dragosin. He made a foul where the player was one through on goal in the same sort of business, a bit more in the half, to be fair. But he was the last man and he made a foul. And I can't remember who it was, it might have been Poro or someone else was covering. But again, it would have been the same sort of distance, 28 yards or so. That player weren't getting there in time. And Dragosin got sent off. You know what? Everyone put their hand up and went, yeah, they deserved it. But when
The other thing as well is, like, a lot of VAR decisions so far this season have been, you know, leave it with the ref, basically. So I'm surprised they didn't just leave it with the ref.
Yeah, I'm surprised as well.
I'm surprised they made
Howard,
go
Howard
to the
Webb
channel.
Was tapping away on his phone, weren't he? Saying, look, boys, we know what to do
they,
here.
They did zoom up to him, didn't they? He did have his hand on his ear. But he didn't speak, though.
Because he was texting. He was like, we know what to do here, boys. Let's do it.
Yeah, we want Man City when he's got those bets
on. The memes going. Yeah. Keep the memes going,
dark
boys.
Arts,
but yeah, it wasn't a red card. It ruined the game once again.
So what's your opinion on the Chelsea one then?
I honestly can't remember the Chelsea one. So I will watch it again and give you my opinion.
I'll tell you what it was, because Clive, you said it wasn't a red card.
Okay. So cool. It wasn't a red card.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah, yeah. I think only Mitchell said it was a red card.
I'm consistent, unlike the referees.
You all laughed at me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were all right, and you were wrong.
Well, today begs to differ.
But other than that, my other notes in regards to the game is, like, it's two bad back passes that fucked us.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, the Trossard one for Saliba sending off, and the Kyrie one for the second goal for the penalty. Martinelli had a chance at 0-0. If he'd been playing for a little bit longer of the game, he might have done a bit better with it.
Should have slotted that in the bottom left, shouldn't he?
He should have, yeah. But obviously, now we miss William Saliba for Liverpool at home. Which is going to be a big miss. I think it will only be a one match suspension and not a three match suspension, but I don't know where they draw the line on those kind of fouls as well.
It's about 30 yards.
Is it a professional foul? Is it a three match ban? It will probably be a three match ban. So we shall see. Hopefully Saka's back for Liverpool. Because we miss the lad.
You miss your FIFA cheat code, didn't you, Clive? You know, the cross is in.
Well, when you got a player that's that good at them, you do miss it. Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I'm not going to deny that he's been doing well with him.
Yep, he has.
are you annoyed, Clive?
I've been annoyed all weekend. Yeah, I've been annoyed all weekend. But yeah, that's it. That's my thoughts. I'll let you decide if you've got any other thoughts.
No. That was a good weekend.
No, I don't think
brilliant.
I do.
Good weekend.
Brilliant weekend.
Brilliant.
My amusing Sunday was watching Arsenal fans cry this morning on the Arsenal TV. That was funny. Me and my dad were having a good laugh. He doesn't even like football. He was just laughing at them rating the Arsenal players. That was quite fun. I mean, there's rivalry in there, so I've obviously got to do it.
The life of a Spurs fan.
And I need to be cheered up anyway, so it's always good watching that. But yeah, your fans do turn on Arteta quick though, Clive. Fucking hell.
There's a small majority of idiots that are on Arsenal TV. But as we've said, every football club has those fans. There's been fans for Tottenham that want Ange out.
Of course they do.
There's fans for fucking West Ham that want Lopetegui out. And
that's understandable.
At the moment, there's not for Chelsea because they've not had a bad result yet.
You've had one loss of 100% off. No, and I was just like, I mean, even us, I don't think we're that bad when it comes to like that.
You are. There's subsections of your fans that definitely are. But like, again, the only points we've dropped this season are from the three games we've had players sent off. So like, something that they need to fucking have a big old meeting about and say, stop fucking doing it. Like,
can I just say something, right? Because Mitchell, you pissed me off with your little comment there, right? About Lopetegui. Like, the only teams we have lost against, right, are what people would class as top six teams, right? And the thing is with West Ham fans, and I don't mean to offend anyone, and I'm sure there isn't that many people I'd be offended anyway, but we've got this thing in our head where we should be battling for Europe or whatever. The fact of the matter is, we were overachieving for those years when we had David Moyes, right? And that's how we managed to get into Europe and go so far in Europe, right? And like I say, the only teams we've lost so far to this season are teams that everyone considers as a top six team. So I really don't think it's a massive underachievement at this point.
Yeah, but do you know what it is season? As well? It's how you're playing, and it's the games where you're drawing. Like, you're drawing against Fulham and Brentford.
Yeah.
You want to be beating those teams.
I mean, you definitely want to be beating them, but like, I 100% agree with Bob. Like, you look at the league table and you think, with West Ham and like the other teams that have spent and the other teams that have performed well around them. So like, typically, let's say Villa, Brighton, Newcastle, you'd at the moment, you'd expect all three of those finishing above West Ham, right?
Yep.
Then you've got Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Tottenham, and you'd also chuck in there, you'd expect United to be above.
Yeah, picking up points now as well.
West Ham. So yeah, like, ninth to tenth is like, realistically, where West Ham, with the squad that they've got, with the money that they spend, should be finishing. Like, you just got to look at their striking situation. You've got Antonio, who's what, 32 years old. Like, who's not a prolific goal scorer. He's done a job there for however many seasons. Then you've got this German fella in who's older. Like, where's the ambition into like breaking into the top six? Like, not there.
The thing is, like, and it would take a complete rebuild, if I'm completely honest with you. I think that, like, the top... So, Paqueta, Bowen, Kudus, right? Yeah.
They'd say Kilman as well now.
Wan-Bissaka as well.
Yeah.
Rodriguez was good against us, first off.
Yeah, first half. Yeah. But he's not been very good throughout the season, in my opinion.
Oh, he's
been a bit of a weak link throughout the season. And I was impressed with him in the first half, and then Lee jinxed it. So, I just think we're kind of where we kind of expect to be now. If we start, you know, getting these ridiculous performances against teams like, I don't know, like the Ipswiches and teams like that have just been promoted from the Championship, then yeah, that's when we start to worry, I think. But at the moment, like I say, only lost against teams that people consider as top six teams. I really don't think it's a cause concern, regardless of the lack of identity and everything like that, because I do think it's going to take him time to get to that point. It's not an easy thing to have a team like West Ham's team and get them to Europe. That it just doesn't happen every season.
Unless you've got Moyes. I like, I would like, I'd be intrigued to see how you feel going into December, because you've got an interesting month coming up. Obviously, you've got United next, so top six, you'll lose that. Then you've got Forest and Everton, like we said, that by definition, you're saying you should beat those teams. Then you've got Newcastle and Arsenal.
No, Mitchell, I'm not even saying that we should always beat these teams. Like the Premier League is hard, right? So all I'm saying is that our expectation should be lowered a little bit to maybe.
Do you want to finish in the top half?
Well, yeah, and I with the games that we've had at the start of the season, I think there's every possibility that we'd still be able to finish in the top half. Like, why are we even considering that at the moment?
Would you be pissed off if you only picked up 1 point next month?
Next month?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I would. Yeah. Who wouldn't be? Like, an Ipswich fan would be pissed off if they only picked up
one point next month.
I just feel like...
I think Lopetegui would be in trouble if he only picked up 1 point.
I think...
Yeah, I'm with you, Bob. I think I get what you're trying to say. Yeah. The Premier League is not easy, and the teams that you've faced, as you said, top six teams, and the way that you played against us in the first half, if you play like that, you're going to be beating teams like Leicester, Brentford, even United. They're up and down. United, Fulham. I think so. I think if you were to switch that around, like, I think I put Fulham as relegated. They signed Smith Rowe, which was a good sign, in fairness to them. But looking at you, I think West Ham is just as good as Fulham, in my opinion.
So both fighting relegation.
Well, no. Fulham are ninth in the league at the moment. You know,
because
yeah,
you said you're going to get relegated. Fulham.
Well, yeah, I said they're going to get relegated in this season. But yeah, that's just
it could still happen. We're only eight games in.
Exactly. Right. I think West Ham are too good of a club to be relegated. Well, I've said it earlier, didn't I? I said they're a good team. You know,
they're the best team to ever be relegated, aren't they? West Ham.
They are. Yes, they genuinely are. Highest points.
Let them have that stat. It's unfortunately the fans, you know, they like to make it known that they're massive. So it's always nice when they lose. But I think, I think they stay up. I don't know if they're finishing Europe. Just if Man United starting to pick up points.
I'll categorically say right now that I don't think we're going to finish in Europe this season at all.
I would put Luke Jaw 100% on that.
Yeah.
There he goes. Fair enough then.
Unless we pick up from, you know, we have had good performances. And like I say, against Ipswich, the first half against Spurs, there have been signs there. So if we can get something together and get a system together, I think we'll have a much better second half of the season.
I actually think you'll do United next weekend. I think it'll be just a sneaky 1-0.
Yeah, well, are you just saying that so that I predict it and get less on the man versus
Man? United is such a weird fucking team. I really can see it. You'll bounce back.
We will use that as a segue into Man versus AI, shall we?
Yeah.
Is that my cue?
That's your cue, Dave. Man versus AI. Beep, boop, boop, beep. Beep, boop, beep. For fuck's sake. Right, so a little recap of this weekend. Not many points at all. Well, I mean, 1 point's not many points.
That's one more than everyone else this week, right? So
you're right.
Let me have
not
this
many
week,
points,
all right, guys?
Though.
I might sound arrogant and thingy this today.
You've won this week, Luke.
I'm having
your team's
it.
The only team that have won, and you've got 1 point in
exactly
Man versus
look,
AOS.
Look, the rest of the weeks, we could be shit, man, and you won't hear from me
I
again
I really
like this,
hope so.
All right? Oh. You won't hear from me,
are you wearing your Spurs top, Luke?
Well, no, I should have done. I didn't want to jinx it even more.
Spurs boxers. He's ordered the DVD already, boys.
He's got the shin pads on.
Yeah, I am wearing white and blue, though, so you know, it counts, I guess.
DVD, the third weekend in October, where we were the team that won in London.
He's already emailed them saying, can I do the voiceover so that I can talk about the pod?
That's it, yeah.
So AI predicted a 2-1 Tottenham win, so it got 1 point as well. It predicted a 3-0 Arsenal win, got 0 points, and it predicted a 1-1 draw in the Liverpool-Chelsea game, got 0 points there. So AI got 1 point.
Gutted.
Bob predicted a 2-1 away win.
Can you stop laughing, Clive?
So got a lovely 0 points. Clive predicted a 3-1 away win, 0 points. Mitchell predicted a 1-1 draw, 0 points.
Where was your laugh with the Arsenal game, Clive?
I mean, I'm constantly laughing at the moment, otherwise I'd be crying. Luke predicted a 3-1 Tottenham win. So we were all willing that fourth goal to go in.
Even I was.
And got 1 point. So the current standings are AI on 28 points, Humans on 19 points. And that is broken down. Bob, 8. Clive, 5. Luke, 3. Mitchell, 3. Currently, Luke is still at the bottom of the table because that's how the table calculates it.
Gutted.
Not sure how though.
We don't argue with science.
No, of course you don't.
Argue with science.
All right, yeah. You're, it's your computer. Okay. Let's see.
So, predictions for next week. Woo! That's how we're going to do it. We're all playing on Sunday. All of your games are the 2 o'clock kickoffs, so I don't know which one's on TV. Although West Ham United,
I'm surprised
that's a spicier game for me. All right,
it's Chelsea and Arsenal.
We will start with Chelsea Newcastle. Mitchell, what is your prediction?
Well, you know, it's impossible to predict Chelsea results, but I am going to go a 2-1
win. 2-1 win against Newcastle at home.
Yeah.
What did they do this weekend?
They lost 1-0 to Brighton. Yeah. Brighton.
Well, back again, Brighton, wasn't it? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Then we will go to Palace versus Tottenham. Tottenham away to Palace. Luke, what are your thoughts? London derby.
Yeah.
Palace need a result as well.
Palace are at home as well. Mm-hmm.
Remember West Ham won there this season, Luke. Yeah. Just remember that.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go. We can keep it a clean sheet for once. 2-0.
2-0 Spurs win.
I mean, we've always conceded, but well, I'm going to root for the team. Why not?
Then we've got West Ham at home against Manchester United, Bob.
Man United never go well for us. I'm going to say 3-1 United, unfortunately.
Oh, bloody hell, Bob.
Oh, fuck.
Are you in your team?
He wants the points. He does not want to wear
West Ham.
I'm telling you,
doesn't want to wear
Bob,
a Tottenham shirt at the end of the season.
If West Ham win 1-0, oh my God.
Well, then what? Like, I'll be happy either way. So,
well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Arsenal are at home to Liverpool without Big Willy. So I'm going to go. Oh,
you're going to go.
He's protecting the first loss. I can feel it.
No, I'm not. I still think we've got enough. I'm just deciding on a draw or a win. 2-1 Arsenal win. Let's go for it.
Oh my God. Also, can I just say, our game against Forest the next week is our first game outside of London this season.
Outside of London this season, yeah. That's a bit bonkers. Talk amongst yourself for a second whilst I go to AI.
How funny at Arsenal.
Who loses 2-0 to ball?
Bottled it already, haven't they?
Even West Ham beat them in the cup this year. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's fucking embarrassing.
All right, Mitch, calm down.
Sorry, mate.
You boys are slags. Right. It's going to give us the Chelsea versus Newcastle prediction first. And it has predicted a 1-1 draw.
These cunts.
Again, it's not like, I'm not so sure on it. Chelsea have been inconsistent in the league, struggling to convert their performances into points. Newcastle, meanwhile, have been a tough opponent for most teams this season. Given Chelsea's home advantage and attacking threat posed by players like Nicholas Jackson, they should find a net, but Newcastle's solidity and counter-attacking ability could earn them a point. So 1-1 draw.
I've had an abysmal couple of weeks.
And like Chelsea's inconsistency. They've lost 2 games. Like, come on. Tottenham versus Palace. Prediction. Tottenham 2, Palace 0. Tottenham are in excellent form. Again, not convinced by that. They lost to Brighton not too long ago.
Not having that. I don't think the AI is predicting 2-0 Tottenham.
Coming off a convincing win over West Ham with Sunny and James Maddison leading their attack. I'm reading this thinking I don't agree with it. That's why I'm...
No, I don't. They can at least say 1-0 or something so I can get the fucking points.
All right. They are showing a strong balance in offence and defence. Crystal Palace, on the other hand, have been inconsistent and may struggle to contain Tottenham's attacking threat. Given Spurs' momentum, they should secure a comfortable win away from home. West Ham versus Manchester United. Prediction: Manchester United 2, West Ham 1. Rationale: West Ham have struggled defensively, as shown in their recent heavy loss to Tottenham. Facing Manchester United, who are starting to regain some form despite their own inconsistencies, it could be a tough match for the Hammers. United's attacking quality, with players like Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford, should pose serious problems for West Ham.
While West Ham, I was more thinking about Hoyland, to be honest.
Yeah, so as I, Rashford's been one goal this season so far, maybe.
So it's Hoyland, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's come back from injury, isn't he?
Yeah.
Fair play. While West Ham could get on the score sheet, United's ability to exploit their defensive vulnerabilities will likely see them to come out on top. Arsenal versus Liverpool. 2-2.
Gone for the Desmond.
Both Arsenal and Liverpool have been among the strongest teams this season, making it a highly competitive game. Arsenal playing at home will be motivated to bounce back from their recent loss and could pose significant threat to Liverpool's defence. On the other hand, Liverpool's attack, led by Mohamed Salah, has been in a great form. Both teams' vulnerabilities at the back, which could lead both teams, have got the best defensive records in the league, but yeah, sure. Vulnerabilities at the back lead to high scoring draws. Arsenal's home advantage may help them secure the point, but Liverpool's firepower should see them get on the score sheet as well. I think we keep saying it's having a mare, but it's beating us. So who are we to judge at the moment?
It's just had a good start. We'll catch up.
I mean, not if there's weekends like this weekend. We fucking won't. <No. laughs> Anything else football related, boys? What we call it?
No, I'm sick of football.
Tottenham massive.
Bad week. Bad week.
That's a great
week. We could have a quick chat about the German manager for England that I'm quite happy about. But
I'm happy about as well.
A lot of media aren't. Apparently,
it's this whole fascination.
Got to be an English manager. Yeah. Well, it's got to be an English manager. Apparently,
it's stupid because most of the Premier League managers are not English. And
we want to win a trophy, but
we want to win a trophy. Yeah.
We don't want any elite managers to do it for us. So,
but the only gripe I have with it is, the fact that Pep was interested. Could we have held out until Pep's contract?
I think they would have had words with Pep, and I think that may be why they've only done 18 months for Thomas. If he doesn't win the World Cup, and that's a big ask, I think Pep will sign a 1-year extension at City, and then maybe it'll be time to bring Pep in. Who knows? Hopefully he goes on and wins the World Cup, and then all the media can eat their words and thank a German. I generally, when he was managing Chelsea, I honestly thought he was probably tactically the second best manager in the league.
I was up to set to see him to go.
Other than Pep, don't get me wrong, Klopp is a great man manager and gets the team going. But I think Thomas was a better tactical manager.
I miss him.
And I think he won't be scared to actually drop certain players and play other players in their correct positions for England, rather than trying to play 8 fucking number 10s.
Although he might bring back Mason Mount.
He could also bring back Ben Chilwell.
Chilwell.
There's a few players he could bring back.
I miss Chilwell.
Of course you do.
Sad times.
Right, well, I'm going to go and watch the rest of the Formula One. If anyone else doesn't have anything to say about Thomas Tuchel, we'll wrap it.
No. Up the Germans.
Well, won't go that far. Fucking hell. happy with that.
Lederhosen.
How do we say goodbye in German?
Lederhosen.
I think it's Auf Wiedersehen, isn't it?
It is Auf Wiedersehen, yeah.
Isn't that hello and goodbye?
I don't know. Auf Wiedersehen.